Acts chapter 6. Let's just take the time to read the chapter this evening. There's only the 15 verses of it. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles amongst the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. They stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been, the face of an angel. Amen. And the Lord will add his own blessing once again to the reading of his precious word. An article was once around in a Christian magazine which asked the reader the following question: Which kind of Christian are you? It proceeded then to highlight some of the different kinds of Christians that you find in a church. Some Christians are like wheelbarrows. They need to be pushed. Some are like canoes. They need to be paddled. Some are like kites. If you don't keep them a string on them, they'll fly away. Some are like kittens. They are only content when they're petted. Some are like a rugby ball. You can't tell which way they're going to bounce next. Some are like balloons. They're full of wind and ready to blow up. Some are like trailers. They need to be pulled. Some are like lights. They keep going on and off. And then there are those who always seek to let the Holy Spirit lead them. Stephen was certainly a man, as we will go through and look at his life, but even from the outset we can say this was a man who was led of the Holy Spirit. As the chorus says, he's like one who let the Lord have his way in his life every day. Stephen was a man who simply handed his life to the Lord and said, Lord, my life's yours. You take it. You lead it. You guide it. You direct it. You fill and you use me as you see fit. As we've noted in our studies over this past year, in this book, the Lord was certainly blessing. The church was being strengthened, even as we looked in the first part of this chapter number 6. The church was being strengthened numerically. It was being strengthened spiritually. It was being strengthened governmentally. In our last study, we noted how, even though there were problems at the start of the chapter, that murmuring that arose between the Grecians and the Hebrews, but yet the Lord and the Spirit of God had come in and give grace. We had looked at the office of the deacon and how beneficial it is to the work of the church to have those deacons in place to care for the needs that arise. And finally, we looked at the need for every child of God to be in the membership of the church. And out of those seven men which were elected to that office, we highlighted all seven of them were Greek. All seven of them had Grecian names. But out of those seven, there was one who stood out. Yes, they were all good, godly men. That's why the Lord had raised them all up to office. The Spirit of God had saw within their hearts, and He had placed upon the other members to elect those seven men to that office, because He saw within them, all seven of them, good, godly men, dependable men. But yet there was one who was unique. His name was Stephen. Three things I want to highlight to you this evening in relation to this man. First of all, I want you to see in the verse 8 the character of the man. The character of the man. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Stephen was a Christian of the highest order in the church at that time. He had beautiful grace. He had a beautiful personality. He had gentleness. He had meekness. He had love. He had compassion. He had care for others. Those fruits of the Spirit which are recorded in Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, Stephen had them all. And this very quickly became highlighted to the church. This is why he was elected. And I believe that's why he's listed as first in that list. Stephen stood out. Stephen was a man that everyone knew they could turn to. Everyone knew would always be there to encourage them with that kind word and with that love and with that care one for another. You know, on two occasions in this chapter, it states the words, Stephen full of faith and power. Or Stephen, full of faith in the Holy Ghost, the verses 5 and 8. Why was Stephen full of faith and power? Why was Stephen described in this way? Why was Stephen given this commendation of the Holy Spirit? Why was Stephen at the front of that list, unique compared to all of the rest? Because I believe Stephen had done the hard work. Stephen had done the private work. Stephen knew what it was to get into the closet, to shut the door. Stephen knew what it was to be alone with the Lord, agonizing in prayer. Matthew 6 and the verse 4, that thine alms may be in secret, that thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Matthew 6 and the verse 6, Christ speaking here in the Sermon on the Mount, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. You see, what was highlighted about Stephen publicly by the Holy Spirit is who Stephen was in the private place. It wasn't a case that Stephen came to the church and put on a show in front of the people and acted all nice and friendly and then went home and was a completely different person in his own house. Stephen did the hard graft in the private. Stephen knew what it was in those early days of the church after coming to faith in Christ. He knew what it was to spend time alone with God. He knew what it was to have God's word open before us. Or before him, and to study it, to memorize it, to learn it. He knew then how to put those words and those scriptures even into his prayers. And he prayed over the messages, and he prayed over the word, and he agonized, and he agonized, and he prayed, and he prayed. You ever consider the parable of the talents? Matthew 25 and the verses 14 to 30. Rich man, or the boss, as it were, had given the talents, 5 to 1, 2 to another, 1 to another. He came back after a long time, and the one who had 5 talents had gained another 5 talents. The one who had 2 had gained another 2, but the one who had 1 had buried it in the earth. And the one who had 5 and gained 5, what is said to him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." You know, that can be applied to Stephen. Stephen had been given by the Lord that blessing, that even opportunity, that ability to read, to study, to understand. Stephen had been given the ability and the desire, that talent of prayer. He had been faithful in the few things. Stephen had been faithful in the basics. The children sing it. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. Stephen knew what the basics were. I believe Stephen studied and studied. He guarded himself. He guarded his testimony. And the Lord then had blessed him, not only by bringing him into a church, bringing him into membership, but then the Lord had blessed him, more responsibility was given. He was elected to the deaconship. And he had been faithful in the work of the deacon. And he had stood out even amongst all of the deacons at that time. Yes, all good, godly men, but Stephen had stood out. His love, his care, his godliness, his spirit, his power, the wisdom within him. He had been faithful in that work, and the Lord had blessed him and raised him up. And now Stephen's there, and he's being greatly used of the Lord. The Lord didn't stop with the deacon. He then thrust Stephen into greater work. D.O. Moody, writing on Stephen, he said this: there are 6 good things about Stephen. He's full of faith, verse 5. He's full of the Holy Ghost, verse 5. He's full of power, verse 8. He's full of irresistible wisdom and energy, verse 10. He's full of sunshine, verse 15. And he's full of witnessing, the whole of chapter 7. I wonder, can we see any of Stephen in us? We examine our whole lives this evening. We examine ourselves. How much time have we spent in the private? Do we know what it is to read, to study? Do we know what it is to agonize with God in prayer? We looked the other evening at Habakkuk. That great burden that was upon him. That was a man who knew the Lord, but he knew how to agonize with the Lord in prayer. He poured out his heart to the Lord. Same with Abraham when he stood before the Lord in the way. He knew who his God was. He knew who the Lord of heaven and of earth was. But Abraham knew what it was to agonize with God in prayer. One other point I want you to see in relation to his character. In reality, it brings everything that we've already said in terms of the private, in terms of all of the study and the prayer, it brings it all together. Look at verse 8 one more time. It says, "Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." Turn over to Acts 2 and 22. So I believe whenever you parallel these verses with each other, it shows so much of the character of Stephen. We read there in the verse 8 of how he did wonders and miracles. Acts 2:22. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs." You see the parallel? Stephen did signs and wonders. The Holy Ghost is there. He's penning this book through Luke. The same description is given to Stephen as was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen's Christ-like. He's a Christian. You know when that term was first used? We'll get to it eventually in the book of Acts. They were called Christians first at Antioch. But do you know it was a derogatory term? Whenever they called the Christians of the Church of Antioch Christians, what they were basically saying was, you're just like many Christs. You're trying to impersonate Christ. What a blessing to know and for it to be seen that some child of God is acting like the Lord Jesus Christ. That some child of God, and Stephen is here in this book, and he's just like Christ. He's dying more and more unto self. And he's living more and more unto righteousness. We look at ourselves in the mirror. We look at ourselves in the mirror of Scripture before us. How much of Christ do we see in our lives? How much, when you consider the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, not earthly ministry of our Savior, how much of the Lord Jesus Christ do we see in our lives? The Holy Ghost looked at Stephen. The Holy Ghost inspired Luke to write down the same words that are attributed to the Lord Jesus himself. Signs and wonders. See the character of the man. No one at this stage in this book, no one at this stage in the church there in the New Testament time was doing signs and wonders apart from the apostles. But Stephen was. Because the Lord had saw he was capable of understanding and doing the little things. And God could trust him with the little things. And then God stepped him up bit by bit. Deaconship. Then I can trust you still, Stephen. Signs and wonders. Well, that process of growing, the process of sanctification is evident. The character of the man was there for all to see. And again I said, it's because of where he started. He started at home. With the book and with the Lord. Child of God, don't neglect the private place. Whatever's going on in your life, and no matter how busy your life gets, make sure you know what it is to spend time alone with God. The character of the man. Then I want you to see, secondly, the verses 9 to 14. The contention against the man. The contention against the man. Verse 9, it simply says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. See, in Jerusalem there were two types of synagogues. There was the synagogue of congregation. This was used for the assembling together for worship. Then there was the synagogue of inquiry, or the synagogue here, as it's called, of the Libertines. This was a type of school, or a philosophical hall. It's out of the latter that these men came out to confront Stephen. Synagogue of the Libertines. The Libertines meant freedmen. Men that were set at liberty by the Romans. Those who had won their freedom. Men from Cyrene, Alexandria, Cilicia. Students of Gamaliel. Including, I believe, Saul. The great student of Gamaliel, Saul of Tarsus, came out of the synagogue of the Libertines. Many commentators believe he would have actually led out all of these ones to come against him. You see, Saul was from Cilicia. Acts 21, verse 39, Paul writing, he says, I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. And so Stephen, he's out there doing signs and wonders. He's preaching. He's doing amazing miracles. The power of the Holy Ghost is upon him. And Gamaliel and the different ones that are there, they're in teaching in that synagogue of inquiry, the synagogue of the libertines, and they hear of what Stephen is doing. And there's Saul at the head of this band. And they're filled with that zeal and that anger against the law and against what Stephen is doing to the law. And they come out and they say, "We'll not have this." So they begin to argue. And they begin to debate with the man. They're trying to put him down. That all of that book knowledge, all of the head knowledge, none of them in the heart knowledge. You know, it didn't matter what they said. In verse 10 it simply says they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Remember, these men are trained by Gamaliel. They understood the Torah. They understood the whole Tanakh. They understood the whole Old Testament scriptures. They were scholars in it. And yet they came out and they put accusation and argument against them. And Stephen rebuffed every one of them. He put every one of them down. Why did they come out? To fulfill Scripture. See, Luke 21:15, the Lord says to his apostles, "I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." The Spirit of God was upon these men, and it didn't matter who came out against them. Not one of them could be put down. What angered these men so much? What angered these men to get up from their classroom, as it were, and to come out and to go against this man, to go against this Christian? The gospel. See, child of God, remember, the gospel is offensive to the sinner. That's the way it's always been. The sinner is offended when you tell them that they're a sinner. The sinner will take great offense, and it will come against them, and it'll hit them with such a prick against their heart. And if the Spirit's working on them, that they'll be driven by so much anger. They'll be motivated to act. See, the brighter the gospel shone in those days, the hotter that Stephen became spiritually, the more the devil sat up and took notice. See, Stephen's name was known in hell. You understand that? Stephen was so filled with the Spirit, so understanding of the Word of God, had spent so much time alone with the Lord, that when the Lord released him, as it were, into the work, and the Lord set him forth, and the Lord filled him and thrust him into the work, Stephen stood and he's white hot. And souls are being saved. Wonders are being done. The Satan's getting angry. And in hell the name of Stephen was known. Remember that in Acts 19:25. The evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know." If you were to apply and ask an evil spirit in the day of Stephen, "Do you know who Stephen is?" I can guarantee you they knew who Stephen was. His life, his character, his actions had made Stephen number one in the devil's hit list. It wasn't Peter and John anymore. And it wasn't the 12 apostles anymore. Now Stephen, at this time, had come to the fore in such a way that the devil now, number one in his hit list, is Stephen. Let me just ask the question, does the devil know us? Are we any threat to the kingdom of Satan? You don't have to be out preaching sermons. You don't have to be out winning souls for Christ. You can be a great threat to the devil in that room. What did Mary Queen of Scots say about John Knox? She didn't fear his sermons. She didn't fear his public preaching and exhortations. Mary Queen of Scots feared John Knox on his knees. Does the devil fear us? Is the devil even worried this week? Does he have any fear of you being at a prayer meeting? In these next number of weeks, this month of November, and everything that is planned for this month, has the devil any fear at all for Six Mile Cross? Are we going to give ourselves to the place of prayer? And then are we going to put feet to our prayers and get out and knock the doors and ask our neighbours and keep asking them and keep asking? That we're striving and we're endeavouring, we're putting our all to the work and not looking back. The devil feared Stephen. Now the verses 11 to 14. You read those verses, you study them. The treatment of Stephen parallels the way that the Jewish leaders treated Christ. He's taken before the same council. They had hired false witnesses to testify against him. They then had stirred up the people who accused him of attacking the law of Moses. Then after listening to him witness, they executed him. What had they done to Christ? Just a matter of months before. They had brought him before the council. They had brought in liars, false witnesses to witness against Christ. They had riled up the crowd. And they took him out and executed him. Now there's a verse which sums this contention, this action up. You think of Stephen and everything that he's about to go through, and you think of Christ and everything that he did go through. It's a verse which has been upon my mind and heart over these days. Philippians 3 and 10. Paul writing there to the church in Philippi, he says that I may know him. The power of his resurrection. But notice the next line. The fellowship of his sufferings. Stephen knew what it was to suffer in the public sense. Stephen knew what it was, just as Christ had been, to be arrested, to be falsely accused, to have a crowd riled up against him, to be brought before the council, to be convicted of any crime that he could be, even though he was innocent. And Stephen too would be taken out. And we'll get to it when we look at the martyrdom of Stephen. But Stephen cried the same words Christ cried on the cross. Father, forgive them. That I may know him. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. The contention which Stephen endured, all for the cause of Christ. But then thirdly and finally, we come to the verse 15 at the end of the chapter. I want you to see the countenance of the man. The countenance of the man. Verse 15, and all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now there are only three people in Scripture whose faces shone. Stephen. It was Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the other one, Moses. Dr. Bonner once said, "Did you ever notice that when the Jews accused Stephen of blasphemous words against Moses, you read them in the verse 11, but the Lord lit up his face with the same glory with which Moses' face shone." They are so angry. And those men that had come out with Saul and the other men that had come out of that synagogue of the libertines and all of the council gathered together, they're so angry with his teaching, so angry with his theology, they're so infuriated, they challenge him, they castigate him, they can't do anything, and they'll then accuse him, "He blasphemes Moses, the one who wrote and gave us our law. He's blasphemed God. He's a heretic." And his face just starts to light up. All of those accusations, he hates God. He hates Moses. He's a tyrant in our city. He's a tyrant to the people. He's an enemy of the book. And then they're looking at him. The face just starts to glow. He never said a word. He didn't do anything to try and make his face shine, but there's such a glow just comes over his face. Remember, these were learned men. They were students of the law. They knew Exodus 34:29-35. They knew that God had caused Moses' face to shine with his glory. Never Moses had spent that time before the Lord, and he came down from that place, and he wist not that his face shone, and the people couldn't look upon him because of the glory, the brightness, and they had to put a veil over his face to come so their eyes could even look upon his veiled face. They knew it all, and before their very eyes, there's Stephen, and his face is just brightening. All the accusations. And yet, as Psalm 33:10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect." Every accusation against Stephen. No, yes, they had their witnesses. They brought them. These men said all of the different things. Stephen's done this. Stephen said this. Stephen's an enemy. Stephen's this, an aggressor, and everything else. They had their great orators. They had their plans in place. "We're going to get rid of him just like we get rid of Christ." Yet, right there in the public setting, God, just without even saying one word, brought all of their counsel to naught. The face shone. One other point, just as we close. Stephen's face is shining. As I said, there were only three in Scripture whose faces ever shone. The Lord in the Mount of Transfiguration, when his glory was revealed to a certain extent. And Moses. Why did Moses' face shine? Because he'd been alone with God. Why did Moses' face shine? Because God was with him. Why did Stephen's face shine? For the exact same reason. He had been alone with God, and now God was with him. See, child of God, remember, "Them that honor me, I will honor." Stephen had honored God in the private. God honored him in the public. In the midst of all of that aggression, the Lord stood right there beside Stephen. Stephen knew God's presence. He knew he had no fear. God is with me. I can feel him in my heart. And then he could see, even he could feel it upon his own face, the glory of the Lord upon him. Child of God, do we know what it is to enjoy the presence of God? We have so many fears and concerns and thoughts and worries about everything. But yet there was Stephen. I know my God, because I've spent time with my God. And I know my God's with me. What a character. What a countenance. When was the last time anyone knew that we'd spent time with God? When was the last time you were able to go home? Or maybe come away from your readings or your prayer time. Your wife, your husband, your children, they know. He, she, they've just been with the Lord. They've just been in his presence. It's a beautiful testimony to have. May we have it. And may we even go forward in this month, and indeed all of the months. That character of Stephen, even, that we get with God. And we get into this book. And then we get out there.